Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word that we read together in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And we shall read verse 30. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, Be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Especially the last part of the verse, For them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Do we desire to honor the Lord? God has created us to glorify him and enjoy him forever. And do we desire that? Do we love God? And do we desire to honor him in our lives? Those who truly love God will seek his honor, and that love to God will be manifest by obedience. As Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. A man may say he loves the Lord, but that cannot be accepted as truth if he is constantly disregarding the commandments of God. If a person continually disregards the law of God, well, it is clear then that there is no true regard for God himself. God tells us that those who disregard him, that neglect his commandments, they that despise him shall be lightly esteemed. There will be no regard for them on God's part. They will be slighted. They will be cast away. They will be lightly esteemed. But the Lord says for our encouragement, Them that honor me, I will honor. If we honor God in our lives, he will honor us. And this is what we desire to consider with the Lord's help. First, that dishonor towards God leads to dishonor of ourselves. So dishonor leads to dishonor. If we dishonor God, if we despise him, he will despise us. He will dishonor us. But on the other hand, honor leads to honor. And honoring God will lead to God honoring us. Honor leads to honor. The sons of Eli, they dishonored God. They neglected God's ways. They despised God by their unholy lives. And even Eli, who was one of God's people, he dishonored God by not sufficiently dealing with his sons. And so his family was lightly esteemed. They were neglected and they were set aside in regard to the priesthood. And God raised up another family or another priest with his family to exercise the function of priest in the tabernacle and temple. And this priesthood, or this family, honored God, and such were honored by God. They honored God, God honored them. This is the great principle that we find in God's word again and again, that honoring God, God will honor us. So first of all, dishonor leads to dishonor. And secondly, honor leads to honor. First of all, dishonoring God leads to the dishonor of ourselves. And Eli experienced that. He was a good man. He had grace. He loved the cause of God in the world. He showed great concern for God's worship. He was a high priest and also a judge. We read in chapter 4 in verse 18 that he had judged Israel for 40 years. But he neglected correcting his sons properly. And so God sent a prophet called a man of God to rebuke Eli. He was sent to rebuke Eli because of the gross misconduct of his two sons. The sons of Eli, sons of a high priest who were in the priesthood, they were actually sons of Belial. We read in verse 12, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord." Now, the word Belial means worthlessness. They were literally sons of worthlessness. Eventually, that word worthlessness, Belial, became a proper name for Satan, the prince of evil. But the word itself means worthless or worthlessness. They were useless. These sons of Eli, they were worthless, useless people. But the scriptures show us that a worthless person is a wicked person. If you read Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 12, we read there that a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. Now the word naughty is the very same word Belial. It's just translated naughty there. So a worthless person is also a wicked person. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. So wickedness, these sons of Belial were worthless people. They were wicked people, and that is exactly what we see in the narrative. And the wickedness came from their own evil hearts. They, in fact, did not know the Lord. They were in the priesthood. They did the work of priests. They received the sacrifices or portions of the sacrifices, but they did not know the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean that they outwardly rejected the true worship. They didn't openly denounce or renounce, I should say, the true religion. They were not like Pharaoh outwardly saying, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" But by their actions, by their irreverence in the worship of God, they showed that they did not know the Lord. They did not honor him. They didn't have true regard for God. In fact, by their lives, they despised God. And God says, "They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Now, how did they dishonor the Lord? Well, as we read here, without going into the details, from verse 13, these two sons of Eli, they were of the priesthood, and the priests had a certain portion of the sacrifices appointed for them. When the Israelites offered peace offerings, certain amount would be given to the priests. We read in Leviticus chapter 7 and verse 34 what these portions were. Chapter 7, verse 34 of Leviticus, "For the wave breast and the heave shoulder," these are parts of the animal sacrifice, "have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and have given them unto Aaron the priest and unto his sons by a statute forever from among the children of Israel." So they did have portions assigned to them. But these two priests, the sons of Eli, they wanted more than was appointed. They were selfish. They would take their fork of three teeth, as it were, stick it into the cauldron or the pot, and whatever came out, they would take. It didn't matter what part of the animal. They just took whatever they liked. They weren't content with the portion that was appointed to them. They didn't care about God's law. They took matters into their own hands, and they went about things just as they saw fit. And when the people were not willing to give them what they required, they even forced it out of their hands. And so their horrible selfishness can be summed up in these three ways. They wanted more, they wanted it now, and they wanted it their own way. Now, more, and their own way. And even when others said, wait, we need to first burn the fat, and then you can have whatever you like, no, that would not suffice. They ignored even a gentle admonition from the worshiper. So they were clearly rebellious and selfish. They wanted it now, they wanted more than was given to them, and they wanted it in their own particular way. Now, from that point of view, you and I are not so different from Hophni and Phinehas, these two wicked sons of Eli, than we might think. We all have selfishness, and that selfishness comes from our sinful hearts, which at root is enmity against God. And when this selfishness comes to expression, what is that but to despise God? It is not to honor him. The Word of God tells us they were despising God. Our covetousness, discontent, our selfishness is despising God, despising God's goodness. When we are not thankful for what he has given us, and we are despising God's authority over us when we don't acknowledge God's principles and God's precepts, God's way, and we go about things our own way, of our own preference. That is to despise God. And we despise God's authority and despise God's holiness. That is to dishonor God, and it all comes from our evil hearts. Our evil hearts, which are opposed to God. And how shameful that is. And how can we excuse ourselves, and how can we justify ourselves and keep up a good opinion of ourselves when our hearts, by nature, are so contrary to God, his goodness, his authority, his holiness. Now, the sons of Eli were also grossly immoral. It appears that there was an institution of holy women who devoted themselves to the Lord and remained close to the temple, like Anna the prophetess. She was there with prayers and fastings night and day. And there's a verse in Exodus that suggests that that was an institution as well. The women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. But these wicked sons of Eli tempted them, some of them, and committed horrible wickedness. And God has appointed marriage, this institution, for the good of humanity. And it's his own appointed way as a means of chastity and satisfying the desires. But here are these two sons rebelling against God's ordinance, throwing off all restraints, leading others to sin. And they were despising God and causing the enemies of God to blaspheme. All of this is despising God. And God says, "They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." The word despise means to accord little worth to something, to view it as of little worth, despising it. What you despise, you don't care about. It's worthless to you. It's to be discarded. Now, that despising something is not necessarily going along with the feelings of malice or scorn or contempt, but it's the very act of undervaluing something which implies contempt. It implies scorn. It implies that you really hate it. If you didn't, if you loved it, if you valued it like you should, you wouldn't act like this. Remember Esau. He craved that pottage that Jacob was cooking. And when he chose that over his birthright, he was actually despising his birthright. And perhaps he didn't have one hateful thought about it. He wasn't saying that in his mind, that worthless inheritance. No, he wasn't thinking like that. But choosing and caring more about that and his own stomach over his inheritance amounted to despising his inheritance, despising his birthright. And so it was even with godly David. When he sinned with Bathsheba and Uriah, God tells him, Through the prophet, that the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me. Thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. David would not have thought at all about, I'm hating God, and he wouldn't have felt that in his heart, although that's where sin comes from, that's true. But he wasn't conscious of hateful thoughts to God when he was following his sinful desires. But following his sinful desires was despising God. Now, shouldn't that tell every one of us that our sin is really coming from hate toward God? It comes from a sinful heart. And that's the way God sees it, that going in the way of wrongdoing and evildoing is neglecting God. It's really despising him. It's undervaluing him and considering him not worthwhile. It's to despise God. And that should ring in our ears when we're tempted to sin. If I go in this way of sin, I'm despising God. I'm showing I don't care about what God says and what God's law is. I'm despising God. But how do we despise God? In many ways. The sin of Hophni and Phinehas was not manifest by rejecting the priesthood. They weren't saying, well, now we're going to worship Baal and Ashtaroth. They didn't say anything like that. They remained priests. They were in the temple worship. They helped the people offer their sacrifices. But they didn't care about God's law. And they were irreverent. And they showed contempt for God's commandments and God's instructions. God gave clear instructions about the priesthood that they occupied, but they didn't care. And they scorned God, and they scorned holiness, having no respect of all God's ways, like the psalmist did. They rejected God's authority. They dishonored God's law and God's instructions. They dishonored God. And we may dishonor God by our own lack of reverence in the worship of God when we allow wandering thoughts to pass through our mind. And we may never say, oh, I don't like to go to church. But if we're thinking about other things in the church service, then we're despising God. If we are not careful to seek the Lord earnestly, well, what is that? Our neglect, our indifference, our lack of care and concern is despising God. And God says, they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Well, even Eli, this godly man at heart, he showed that he was despising God as well by his failure to deal with his sons properly. Eli himself did not have high enough regard for God's law and God's ways. And so when the report of his son's terrible behavior came to him, all he said was, why do you this? Why are you doing this? He does rebuke their sin. He reasons with them. He says, your sin is so glaringly against God that you can't expect anyone to stand up for you. Your sin is against God. But now Eli thought that would be sufficient to give them a good scolding. But it was not sufficient. He should have removed them from office. He should have done something similar in a way of discipline. But a verbal rebuke was not enough. And it was not enough in God's eyes. And to God, it amounted to despising him. He says, you honor, through this prophet that was sent to him, he says, you are honoring your sons more than me by not dealing with them severely catering to their the feelings of sonship that he might have had to them caring about their own feelings. He was not dealing with them firmly enough, and therefore he was showing more regard for his sons than regard for God. This is how God viewed the matter. You're honoring your sons more than me. What about ourselves? Are there any cases among us when we show more regard for a family member than for God? We care more about their feelings than what God thinks and God's honor. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Despising God. As far as Eli was concerned, he did not show enough zeal for the ordinance of God. Here are his sons committing gross sins in the precincts of the tabernacle, and he's not dealing with it. His love for God did not rise high enough for him to take action. Where was the zeal that the other Phinehas showed a long time ago? Before this, we read that Phinehas, when there was this is not the brother of Hophni, but another Phinehas who was of the priesthood. But when there was a plague in the camp, and then another Israelite man took a Midianitish woman right in front of the whole camp into his tent, Phinehas takes a javelin and a spear and kills both of them, and so the plague was stayed. The plague was prevented from spreading. Well, that was showing great zeal, and no doubt Phinehas had God's approval for that. We shouldn't take matters in our own hands and start dealing with things in our own way, but it's to go according to God's approval and his instructions. But Phinehas, in those days, this was in the time of Moses, he took the honor of God and the good of his fellow Israelites seriously, and he took action, and Eli should have taken action. And so this man of God is speaking to Eli about Eli's failing. He has not honored God. And he says, and the prophet says in verse 27, thus saith the Lord, he's speaking to Eli, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house, and did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest? He's speaking about Aaron of the tribe of Levi. God had chosen Aaron and honored him and his family by setting him apart to be priest, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me. And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Some of the offerings, like the sin offering, the blood was sprinkled upon the altar, but the carcass, the animal, the body of the animal, was given to the priests, as well as portions of the peace offerings. They had the sacrifices. This sustained them. This was their provision from God. God honored them. God honored Aaron and his family. But now, verse 29, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offering, and so on. Why do you tolerate such profaning of God's ordinances and all this irreverence and abuse and honoring his sons more than God? And honorest thy sons above me to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. So here is God rebuking Eli and showing how those that despise him will be lightly esteemed. Wherefore, verse 30, the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Lightly esteemed. That's a different word from the word despise, and it means to slight someone, lightly esteemed, to overlook that person. It's like you pretend that person didn't exist. You ignore going to slight Eli and his family. Now, of course, again, Eli was a good man. He had grace, but in temporal things, outward things, God was not going to honor him because of his failure to deal with his sons properly. Well, Eli was, yes, one of the sons of Aaron, the descendants of Aaron, but his family, and the line of priesthood, his family was of Ithamar. Ithamar was one of the four sons of Aaron. The two other sons, Nadab and Abihu, they died when they offered up strange fire. And there was Eleazar and Ithamar left. Now, originally, the priesthood was established with the elder brother of the two, Eleazar. And that is seen when Phinehas, as we mentioned, he took the spear and killed the two people in the tent. And God made a promise that Eleazar, or rather Phinehas, who was the son of Eleazar, the priesthood would be established with him, and he shall have it. That is Phinehas. This is Numbers chapter 25, verse 13. And his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous before his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. So the priesthood was established from Aaron to Eleazar, and Phinehas was a son of Eleazar. But now, for some reason, we see that the priesthood is occupied by Eli, a son of Ithamar. So people have conjectured that there was some sin that the family of Eleazar committed, which God punished by transferring the priesthood from Eleazar's family to Ithamar's family, which Eli was from. Eli was a descendant of Ithamar. And so this priesthood now in Eli's time is occupied by the family of Ithamar. But now, because of Eli's sin, because of the sins of his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, the priesthood is going to be reverted to Eleazar's family. Because of Eli's sin, the promise of priesthood to Eli's family is now being revoked. God says, I did indeed promise. I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. Never will this be, not at all. He is so strong and adamant, be it far from me. Why? For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Eli and his sons did not honor God. God is not going to honor them by extending the priesthood in their family. So the promise is revoked because of their glaring sin. They have dishonored him. And so God is saying that they are now lightly esteemed as a family. The family of Ithamar, the family of Eli, is lightly esteemed, is being slighted, overlooked. Verse 31, behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thy house. Cut off thine arm. They would lose the power and the prominence in the priesthood. Specifically, it means that the high priest would not ever be, the role of high priest would never be filled by any of their family. They would still be priests in the family of Eli, Ithamar, still be priests, but not high priest. They would not occupy the highest office of priest. So they would, it's as if their arm was cut off. They would lose the honor of having a high priest in their family. This did not take place immediately, because we read in later on, a generation later, Ahitub and Abiathar were both high priests who were descendants of Eli. But it would take place at the time of Solomon, when Zadok would become priest and replace Abiathar. He would no longer be priest. So God is going to put another person in office instead of any of the sons of Eli. And the family of Eli would suffer great disgrace because of their sin. Many of them would die young. We read that, "I will cut off thine arm," they would lose their glory, "and that there shall not be an old man in thine house." It was a great disgrace for a person not to reach a ripe old age, but to die young was to lose honor and to die in midlife. It was without respect on the part of the public. So he also says that there will be an enemy in the habitation, and the margin, of course, there shows that it is speaking of the tabernacle worship. So we're reading in verse 32 now, "And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation." The margin is "the affliction of the tabernacle for all the wealth which God would have given Israel." I believe that's referring to when the Israelites went into battle with the Philistines, and they were losing, and they said, "Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the battle, and we'll surely get the victory now." But as you know, the Ark of the Covenant was captured by the Philistines, and then Hophni and Phinehas, both of them died, which is referred to in verse 34. Terrible, dishonorable things were going to come upon the family of Eli. God is not mocked. We reap what we sow. If we dishonor God by our failing and neglect and caring more about ourselves and what we like and what our families like, neglecting the honor of God, oh, what humiliation we can expect. God slew the sons of Eli, and he raised up another. And this came upon his family, and Eli witnessed this. He heard the report. Of course, he cared much more about the cause of God overall than his own family, overall. And when we read that the report came to him that his two sons died. But when it was made mention of the Ark of God, that it was captured by the Philistines, it was then that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy. Poor Eli, a tragic end to his life. There was no honor in that. It was trouble, it was tribulation, it was dishonor to die like that, and with such terrible news, and react in this way. Yes, he cared about God's cause, but still God was chastising him in all of this. "Because they that despise him, they shall be lightly esteemed." God loves his people, but even they will have to suffer great hardship if they show contempt for his ways in their lives. Well, God is showing us this great principle: they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And this would go on beyond Eli's generation. And as we read, that when it shall come to pass, verse 36, "that everyone that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, 'Put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices, that I may eat a piece of bread.'" So the family of Eli, Ithamar, they would still be priests, but not high priest, and there would be such rivalry and jealousy that they will beg just to keep a position in the tabernacle or temple, just so they can provide for themselves. That is how degraded their family would be because of their sins. Truly, dishonor to God leads to dishonor of ourselves and even our children and even generations to come. We know this. We know this. A family gives up religion, where do their children go? And where do their children go? God says, they that honor me, I will honor. And so it was. If we fail to confess Christ, Christ will not confess us. But if we do confess him and we endeavor to live our lives for him, we will be openly acknowledged before the world. Honor leads to honor. Let us consider that in the second place. Let's read the verse, verse 30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, this is God's word, God's authority, the Lord God of Israel. I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever, but now the Lord saith, be it far from me. For them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Them that honor me I will honor. And this would take place in the person of Zadok. He says, I will raise me up a faithful priest. Verse 35. That shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before me, before mine anointed, forever. You read in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 27, when Solomon became king, there was a new government, a new administration, as it were, and he replaced Joab and others, and even Abiathar, the high priest, who was the a descendant of Eli. So Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest unto the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord which he spake concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. The word of God was fulfilled. God is true to his word. He is true to his threatening, but he's true to his promise. And Zadok, who was of the line of Eleazar, became priest. And Zadok the priest did the king put in the room of Abiathar. Well, Zadok the priest, who he was faithful to his charge and his trust, he stood before the king. He knew that God had chosen Solomon and not Adonijah. And so he was there beside the new king Solomon before God's anointed. The anointed is probably referring to the king. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. But ultimately, it is referring to Christ, God's anointed. This new priest that God will honor shall walk before the Lord. He shall be in the presence of Christ. Christ was had still not come from heaven to earth, but still if we perform our duties faithfully according to God's word, he will honor us. We walk before him in his presence with the light of his countenance in his favor, all to encourage us. So, them that honor me, I will honor. Zadok was going to honor God, we're to honor God. He was going to honor God, being faithful to his trust. He would be faithful to perform his duties according to God's will. We read that he would do so according to God's heart and mind. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. Like David, a man after God's own heart. He would do what God wanted him to do. That's all David really wanted to do anyway. It was by the grace of God. And to do after God's own heart and mind is to be like God. God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And that means we should know the Lord. We are commanded, know the Lord thy God, be acquainted with God. That's the only way to know and do all that is according to God's heart and according to all that is in his mind. We must know the Lord. Acquaint yourself with God. Know the Lord. That was the great problem. One of the great problems with Hophni and Phinehas. They did not know the Lord. They didn't care about God. They didn't study the Word of God. How can we obey God's Word? How can we obey God's will? Well, we must go to his Word. And that's where we begin, to know the Lord, to have acquaintance with God, to have experience of his grace. Well, that is the one thing needful, to know the Lord. How many of us can say we do know the Lord? Well, it's only by being born again. It's by having a new heart. To know the Lord is to have the Spirit enlightening our minds, giving us saving spiritual knowledge so that we know the Lord, so that we know Christ, that we know him with love. We don't really know the Lord unless we perceive the loveliness of Christ. Because God has moral beauty. Moral beauty. The beauty of holiness. We don't know the Lord unless we know that. To perceive his loveliness. To see. To taste. Experience. We don't know God unless we have tasted. We have experienced his glory, his loveliness, his beauty. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. He can't know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You must have the Holy Spirit to know God. You must have the Holy Spirit to spiritually understand and see, perceive, discern the glory, the beauty, the loveliness, the love-worthiness of God, that he would be worthy in your estimation, that there would be a genuine desire to honor him, a genuine desire to honor him, a real desire to glorify him. That's where it begins. We don't honor God. We don't honor him without saving grace in our souls. We don't honor God unless there's a desire to honor him. God looks at the heart. It's wrong, of course, to say, well, I'm not going to go to church anymore because I don't have a new heart. I'm just going to live the way I please. That's sinful. That's worse. But the truth is, until you have a new heart to love God, you're not really honoring him. Hophni and Phinehas did not know the Lord. And that's why they didn't care. And we will never really care until we know the Lord. Acquaint yourself with God. Seek his face. Seek to know him. Cry to God. Stretch out your hands of your soul. Oh, that I may know thee. That Paul still desired that. Oh, that I may know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings be made conformable unto his death. All of us should be crying, oh, that I may know thee. Know the Lord. Come to Christ. Trust in him for salvation. And to know the mind of the Lord in order to do according to that which is in his heart and in his mind, verse 35, well, we need to read his word. We're to be diligent to learn the principles of God's word, to understand the meaning of his commandments. We can all repeat the Ten Commandments, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. We can quote the words verbatim, word for word. But is it in our hearts? And do we understand the meaning? Do we know the principles within the commandments? Do we desire? Do we love the commandments? That's the thing. To know him. To honor him. And to know what is in his mind and heart. We're to read his word. We're to pray for light. And to pray for willingness. Speaking about, thinking about even particular things in our lives. We may understand the principles. To honor God, ask ourselves deeply, do I really desire to honor God? And let that sink into our souls. And pray for that willingness to honor God in everything. To be brought to this point, to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, with all sincerity, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's all I really want. At the very foundation of my soul, that is all I want. What wilt thou have me to do? All I want is to honor God. You see, if we pray for this, God will give it to us. He will give us that desire. And it is the most blessed position to be at, to be fully resigned to the will of God. And friends, this is the way to know the will of God, to be first brought to that perfect willingness, where flesh, where sin, where self is just down, all the way down, and the desire is up high, strong desire, whatever God's will is. If we have been brought to that, that is... We're well on the way to discovering what God's will is for us. Because them that honor me, I will honor. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Honor him, acknowledge him. He's first. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Well, Zadok would do so. Zadok, the new priest in the time of Solomon, he would be a faithful priest, faithful, doing what he had been entrusted with. He would fulfill the office that God had appointed him to, what was committed to him, he would perform. He would be faithful to that trust. That shall do. This priest shall do. Think of that. One word, do. We can preach sermons. We can have conversations for hours. But they are meaningless unless we actually try to do. He shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. Well, we can say, Lord, Lord. We can read our Bibles. We can pray long, flowery prayers. It's all worthless if we don't do the things that God has commanded us. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You see, we truly acknowledge God's authority. We truly honor him when we obey him. So go to the commandments, study them, study the principles of God's word, and diligently use the means of grace. Diligently use the means of grace. We honor the Lord by making his ordinances our priority. Your friends invite you out to eat. It's prayer meeting time. No, sorry. I'm going to the prayer meeting. Not always. The prayer meeting is not the Sabbath day, but illustrating. You wake up in the morning, 6 a.m. or whatever. You pick up your Bible, to read. The text messages start coming in. No, I'm seeking the Lord. I'm honoring Him. First things first. Throughout our whole lives, every day of our lives. Honoring God, He will honor us. Seeking that our whole lives would reflect His glory, our demeanor, our whole way about us, that our attitudes would be shaped by His will, our opinions adjusted to His word, our purposes would find agreement in His purposes, and our aims and goals would ultimately be to glorify Him. Because He promises, "Them that honor me, I will honor." That is to encourage us. If we honor Him, He will honor us. So it was for Zadok. God promised to build him a sure house. Zadok would have a numerous posterity of many descendants, and they would no doubt be respectable too. It was the family of Eli and Ithamar that they would crouch for a piece of bread, but Zadok's family would be on top. They would be prosperous. They would be honorable. A sure house, walking before God. So it is for us if we desire to honor God. He will cause us to prosper in His own way. As David says in Psalm 41, "As for me, Thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before Thy face forever." Those who are sincere and they want to know God's will and they are resolved to do God's will, God keeps them before Him with His blessing upon them. He will honor them, even in temporal things. Not always, not exactly the way they would like. And because of our faithfulness to God, we may meet with much scorn and opposition from the world. But going on honoring God, eventually, even in this world, people will recognize us. That man or that woman has never told me a lie. I can trust that person. And we're honored. We receive honor even from before people. Like Joseph, he was determined to obey God and be faithful. And when he was tempted, he said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Yes, it would be against Potiphar, but he was looking to God and His honor. Well, he was cast into prison, but eventually he had authority over all of Egypt. He was honored. God honored David. David was just a shepherd boy. But David was faithful, honoring God. How dare this Philistine taunt the armies of the God of Israel, defy God Himself? And David looked to God for help and brought down the giant. And eventually, David became king over Israel. Moses valued the reproach of Christ greater than all the riches of Egypt. And God honored Moses, appointing him to lead the children of Israel from slavery to the border of the promised land. Well, we have so many examples in Scripture to illustrate, "Them that honor me, I will honor." Hannah understood that. Now, she was reproached by Peninnah, the other woman, and because Hannah had no children, but Hannah went to the Lord and prayed, and she said, I will devote this child. If the Lord would give me a child, this child shall be for the Lord. She was honoring God in her desires. This child would be for God. And then the Lord gave her a son and more children afterwards. And her reproach was taken away. And she knew that He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. Why? For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He hath set the world upon them. God is in control. He puts down one and raises another up. If we honor Him, He will honor us. And we're to look to Christ as the perfect example. Christ honored His Father. I must be about my Father's business. The Father had appointed Him to suffer and die for sinners, to redeem His people from their guilt and deliver them from sin and Satan. And Jesus was saying, and with strong crying and tears, "Not my will, but Thine be done." And he drank the cup which was full of all the suffering that God appointed him. But he went forward and he performed the will of God and died on the cross and satisfied divine justice and reconciled sinners and purchased his people from all their enemies and the wrath of God they deserve. But you see, Jesus' example was that of giving himself to the will of God and the honor of God. And God honored him. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If we honor God, he will honor us. We should seek his honor first and foremost in every area of our lives, at home, at work, in our education, in society, in government, in the church. We may be anxious about consequences and what will happen if I do this or that. We should not worry about that. Our aim should be the honor of God and leave the rest with him. And he will take care of the rest. A king once said to the ambassador was going to a far country, and the ambassador may have been worried about this or that, and the king said, "You mind my business, and I'll mind yours." The ambassador was thinking, "What about my family at home or other things that need to be taken care of? You mind my business, where you are going, and I will mind yours." Well, God will ensure our well-being. If we seek God's honor, we don't need to be concerned about our reputation. Yes, we should cherish a good name. But if we seek God's honor, he ensures our reputation. That's the order. God's honor, and he will honor us. Well, as we have considered that dishonor leads to dishonor, and honor leads to honor, let us not forget that we have not honored God unless we have honored his gospel. We haven't obeyed God until we have obeyed the call, "Come to me, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." We honor God by repentance. He calls us, willing to raise us up from the spiritual dunghill and set us among princes, so that on the last day he will openly acknowledge us before the universe as his own people. But he is calling us, obey the call, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? If you come to Christ, he will pardon you, he will cover you with his righteousness, he will exalt you by his grace and by his glory. Them that honor me, I will honor. May he bless his word. Let us pray. Gracious God, enable us to thank thee for thy word, and we pray thee earnestly for that grace to honor thee, and that we would seek first thy glory in this world, and thou wilt provide, and thou wilt make a plain path. Lord, help us to do what we know, and thou wilt teach us what to do. Help us to be purposed in our hearts and endeavor with our might to do according to all that is in thy heart and in thy mind, to honor thee and forgive our sins and accept us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.